And now we are going to look to our national defense with two stories. And the first one is a rather positive one, that Canada has announced new aid and supplies for Ukraine, $60 million for F-16 supplies and equipment. The other one is, it's a sad one, leaks and ineffective anchors, mechanical breakdowns among ongoing problems facing new Arctic patrol ships. So even when we do something, when we honor one of our commitments, we are reminded of the terrible state of Canada's armed forces. We're joined now by Robert Hubert, interim director of the Center for Military Security and Strategic Studies at the University of Calgary. Robert, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, Ben.
Tell me what you think. I mean, it sounds great that we have a $500 million commitment to Ukraine. This is part of that. So I do like it when it comes to military things, where we do what we say and we say what we do. But then I look at how we are protecting the Arctic, and it's almost like a clown show.
Well, it is, and it isn't. And one of the things we have to appreciate, you're absolutely right. We've let things really deteriorate, something to a state where it is very, it'd be laughable if it wasn't so dangerous. The thing we have to be a little careful with is anytime any country, it doesn't matter if it's the Japanese, French, or the Americans, are building a new class of warships. And this is what it, I mean, it's a constabulary ship, but it is still based to standards of a warship. And anytime you do that, you will always have problems. The Americans, who's invested over $14 billion, that's almost, you know, 2/3 of the Canadian defense budget on one ship, the Ford, it took them an extra 2.5 years to get the thing working. They had a whole bunch of things that just simply didn't work. It's difficult. It's a challenging task. It's not trying to make an excuse for Irving and trying to say that everything is hunky-dory, but the reality is this is very hard. We haven't done this since, well, basically you have to go back to the 1990s when we built the frigate, so it's all brand-new skill sets, all brand-new people, and things get done wrong. That's just the state of the nature of the beast.
But unless you change the structure in which these things happen, they are going to continue to happen. And I remember talking to my brother, Mark Mulrooney, who is, I'm going to give him credit for what I think is a fantastic idea. He suggested years ago that the problem with the military is our procurement system, where it is deeply politicized. And what we need to do is approach things more from an Australian model, where it's a nonpartisan committee that hears from governments on long-term planning and strategy. And they'll say, here's what we need in order to maintain our commitments around the world. And it is up to that group to find the best way to get that done. And that way, it's not the political hot potato that it is, where one prime minister buys a ship or a helicopter, and then the next government gets elected by saying that gentleman got a raw deal for the country. And it goes back and forth, cancels that deal, and so on. And that dance continues. What do you think of that idea?
It's a brilliant idea, if you could get us to work in Canada. We actually had an experiment where they actually tried to do that for shipbuilding, the Canadian shipbuilding strategy, where basically it was exactly what your brother suggested, make it apolitical, set up where your expertise is, keep it ongoing, because these skill sets have to be kept maintained.
Well, exactly. You just referenced that this is so new to us that we have to essentially learn on the job, as opposed to passing these skills down from one generation to the next.
Well, but to this point, we have the shipbuilding strategy that was supposed to do that. As soon as a different government came into power, they immediately basically dismantled the shipbuilding strategy. They say it's still there, but they added shipyards. They changed in terms of how it's being constructed. Politically, it pays off for the political parties. And unfortunately, there's very few voices that alert the public to exactly what your brother was talking about.
I don't understand why we can't look to the best practices of a similar country. Like, if this works in Australia, another parliamentary democracy, why couldn't it work here? What is so special about the Canadian way of doing things that we couldn't find? Oh, yes, go on.
This is the frustrating thing. Every single time I talk to any insider, liberal or conservative, they say, hey, defense issues just simply don't poll. And so therefore, there's no pressure on us. And so we'll go deal with COVID response. We'll go deal with housing. But it doesn't matter. And ultimately, the Americans will look after us, which is, as we're seeing in terms of the possibility of a return of Trump, is such a mythology and wishful thinking. But it's this belief that we somehow don't really have to worry about defense. And if we do, the Americans will do it.
And it's the great irony that the people who find the least common cause with Donald Trump are the ones who are literally serving us up for breakfast for him by saying, defund the police, defund the army. We don't need any of this stuff. If you really want Canada to be able to go its own way, we have to be able to go our own way. We have to be able to, when we speak, people need to listen. And part of that is having a decent and honorable military that is properly funded and well-respected.
Well, it's even more dangerous than that, Ben. I mean, we've got a Russian leader who is talking now about the utilization of nuclear weapons. We have a China that is clearly interfering in our domestic sphere and, by all accounts, looks like it's going to be using military force to retake Taiwan.
And both of those countries, we're going head-to-head with them in the Arctic.
And we're just ignoring it. It's just they're like, oh, they really don't mean what they say. And the fact that Canadians are not up in arms and saying we've got to do more than what has happened to the military. I mean, I agree, but it's just so frustrating that we believe nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, you got. I think that's just political spin because nothing. It's not nothing's going to happen, but we can't do anything about it. And that's the thing. I mean, Putin has no problem taking things that don't belong to him. Can you imagine how easy it's going to be for him when we're not there to defend our position in the Arctic?
Well, I mean, once again, everybody sees this coming. I mean, everybody talks about the Putin reinvasion of Ukraine in 2022, and they say, oh, the world changed then. That was the quote of Freeman. The reality is Putin used military force to rearrange the political reality in Georgia in 2008 and actually started the Ukrainian war in 2014, not 2022. Again, within Canada, we just simply, you know, we believe what we tell ourselves, which are falsehoods, and therefore refuse to do the necessary steps to basically prepare ourselves for what is obviously going to be conflict with both of these countries at one point or another.
Yeah, so even the nice story of Canada announcing Ukraine aid of $60 million, it puts everything in stark relief. We have a lot of work to do to live up to our what we owe our military for being there for us and for what we owe the world. I think when our prime minister says Canada is back, he's speaking to an international audience. And it should mean something. It shouldn't just be a talking point. And it should mean...
It's just a talking point. Yeah. It's just a pure talking point.
Well, Robert Hubert, I want to thank you for being here today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Ben.